John in chapter 1. I believe we left off at verse 18. I'd like to read verse 18 if you don't mind. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Before I begin this morning, I would like to have a word of prayer. I'd like to let you know, unfortunately, Adam Tolvinsky passed away this past week. A good brother in Poland. He was a faithful brother, excellent translator, excellent preacher, faithful man of God, and he will be tremendously lost. This Adam Tolvinsky is our daughter-in-law Magda Riggs' brother. And so we would ask you to pray for his family, pray for Magda. This is very hard for them. It's hard for the church as well. So we would ask you to pray. And I'd like to do that right now, if you don't mind, this morning. Just have a quick word of prayer. Father in heaven, I do pray for the Tolvinsky family. I pray that you, as the God of all comfort, would comfort their hearts. And Lord, that you would be a real presence in their lives at this time. I pray for the church there in Warsaw, that you would bless the brethren, help them to overcome. Don't let the devil use this to discourage them in any way. I pray for Adam's son, Marek, who's been struggling with his walk with you. I pray that he would be revived and not discouraged or bitter because of this passing of his father. And Lord, we pray you bless us. I know we're fighting this pandemic here in the States. Help us to overcome and be protected. Lord, bless our church. Help us to love one another. Help us to love you. And may you be honored, and that's all that's said. I pray you'd help us with the study of the scriptures today. Help us understand it. Help us to live it. Help us to honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do appreciate your patience on that. I'd like to read a disclaimer, if I may, because the rest of this month I would like to try to tackle some difficult passages in the scriptures. Not because I have any confidence that I'm going to be able to explain every difficulty. I already know that I can't. I'm just letting you know in advance. There's no way that I'm going to explain every difficulty. We've already had 2,000 years of brothers looking at the scriptures, facing this difficulties. I doubt that I'm going to give anything new. In fact, I'm not even in doubt. I know that I'm not going to give anything new. Somebody's already addressed these issues, and they've already given their best explanations. The purpose that I want to express this morning, that I've been trying to express, is that we need to understand the scriptures and not rest the scriptures, and not twist the scriptures. It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, that's a difficult problem. I'm going to trust God. Hopefully down the line, I'll get some light on this problem, right? So it's not my intent to solve all the problems in the Bible. I don't think I can. Nor is it my expectation that you will be persuaded by any or all of my explanations. I hope that my explanations will be at least reasonable and possible that would might be able to, you know, alleviate some of the doubts or the problems we have. It is not my intent. It is my intent for you to better understand the Bible, and so that we be careful not to rest the scriptures and twist the scriptures to our own destruction. We must recognize that verses that appear to contradict in the scriptures, they both are true. We don't lessen one of the verses. They're all true. And so we have to take the whole perspective, and one will help us, obviously, to explain the other. Both have to be explained, and both have to be understood in some way. The whole of Scripture helps us to understand the difficult parts of Scriptures. One of the problems that many people have is they focus on one portion of the Scriptures, and then they forget the rest. We have to take the whole of Scriptures to understand the parts. We don't take the parts to explain the whole. We take the whole to explain the parts. I hope you understood that part. I've mentioned this before. We don't interpret the clear in light of the unclear, but rather we interpret the unclear in light of the clear. And many times in the Bible, a clear statement is repeated oftentimes, and then we run across a particular verse that seems to contradict all those clear verses. Well, we're not going to take that unclear verse and give it priority off over all of those other statements in the scriptures that were direct and very clear and easier to understand. And we talked about this several times. There is always a reasonable explanation even when we can't find it. We just haven't run across it yet or haven't understood other parts of scripture. I don't know about you, but I've been reading the Bible for a long time, and still to this day, I come across things and I think, oh wow, that's what that means. It was there the whole time, but I just didn't see it previously. But now, you know, having read, or maybe I've heard a sermon, or maybe I've read a commentary, or I heard some brother or sister gave a verse, a different take on it, and then I realized, oh, that's what that means. And so it takes time. We just have to trust God. We can usually conclude what a verse is not saying even when we aren't quite sure what it is saying. So we conclude and say, okay, we know it's not saying this, point A, point B, point C. Don't know exactly what it is saying, but we do know it's not saying this. And so that helps us direct our understanding of a particular verse by eliminating what it's not saying. And so let's take a look at this difficult passage. Maybe it's not difficult for you. Maybe you've already resolved it. When I read it, it's difficult. It was rather shocking to me because I'd already read the Old Testament, and now I'm reading this, and then here it says, no man has seen God at any time. That is a true statement. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which was in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So the Son has declared the Father. And that's an important key that I think is going to help us understand. So I want to look at some verses. Some of these will be repetition from last week, but I want to look at them again. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. Let's lay the foundation, first of all. Very clear statement. No man has seen God at any time. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 14, it says, that thou keepest commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show what is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So here we have another definitive statement. You cannot see him. It's impossible, it seems to say, nor can see, it emphasizes here. No man has seen him, nor can see him. In other words, the ability to see him is not possible, is what it seems to be saying here. We cannot see him. I think this is probably logical in a sense, because later on we're going to read some verses that talks about God being invisible. If it's invisible, the very word means you can't see it, right? So there we have that. 1 John in chapter 4 and verse 12. If you have it, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now notice what it says here. Again, it repeats what John had already said in the Gospel. Now he says it in his epistle. He says, no man has seen God at any time. Is that what it said? No man has seen God at any time. So this is a repetition. It's enforcing, or it's reaffirming what's already been stated in scriptures. We have a repetition of it, so it's bringing clarity. But then notice what it says later on. It says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now it seems to imply that we have not seen the Father, yet we know that the Father has done something. Which brings me to something very interesting. Do you remember when Jesus told Nicodemus he had to be born again? And he talked about the wind blowing, it listeth, yeah? And we can't see it necessarily, but we know that it's blowing. So there are some things that we cannot see, but we do know that they exist or they're there. Would that make sense? Yeah? There's some things, in fact, the truth is there's a lot of things that we can't see, but we know that we're there. Have you ever seen the coronavirus? Probably none of us here, yeah? But we know it exists, right? Because we can see the effects, and I'll bring that up further. Now look in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 20. He says, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now this seems to be saying that if you ever did see God, that you wouldn't live to tell about it. So then we could say, no man has seen God at any time, because there's nobody living that could say, yeah, I saw God, because they would die. Yeah, he is a consuming fire. So we need to consider these things. So what have we seen in these scriptures? First of all, the affirmative statement that no man has seen God at any time. And that statement, it was repeated, correct?
Amen.
Amen. Then the statement in Timothy, it can't be done. No man has seen him at any time, nor can see him, right? Whom no man has seen, nor can see. The impossibility is presented. Then we see in the Old Testament, he says, look, if you ever did see him, you wouldn't live to tell about it. So these seem to be clear statements in the scripture. So far, so good. We don't have any difficulties. These are clear statements. We can understand these. When we encounter another scripture, then we may or may not have difficulties interpreting these. But so far, so good. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I just want to reemphasize this point that there's just not one verse of scriptures. There's multiple scriptures that reaffirm that no man has seen God at any time. 1 Timothy chapter 1, now unto the King eternal, immortal, what? Invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Invisible. In other words, not visible. In other words, cannot be seen, not perceptible by the eye. You cannot be perceived by the eye. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, repetition again. Who is the image of the, what kind of God? Invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now we'll come back to that image, but right now I just want to emphasize he's invisible. In other words, cannot be seen. How many verses do we have now so far? I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses that clearly state nobody's seen him. You can't see him. If you did see him, you would die. You're not going to live to tell about it, right? So how can we see someone who is invisible? Is it possible to see someone who is invisible? Now, there's been different ways that people have interpreted this. One way that they have interpreted it is they said, see doesn't always mean see. Don't laugh, because that is a true statement. We had a friend, I think his name was Lucas, Bill, from Shield of Faith in Aguas Calientes. This brother, he had a saying. It just became irritating it. Maybe not irritating. Maybe irritating is too much of a too forceful a word. But he would repeat the saying when he would. I guess he didn't have confidence in what he was saying, and he would always say this. Do you see what I'm saying? And I said, well, I didn't see anything. You know, words were coming out of your mouth, but I didn't see any words coming out of your mouth. But he would say, did you see what I'm saying? But so see didn't mean see like with the eyes. See meant, do you understand? Do you the meaning of that word, it's an idiom. The meaning of that word cannot be taken literally. We understand that the meaning is, do you understand what I'm saying? Right? It's like people say, I don't have the foggiest idea. Doesn't have anything to do with fog. Yeah, and when you translate in that Polish, it's for you, it probably get even more obscure, because in Polish they say, I don't have a green idea. Well, you think, well, what does green got to do with ideas? But the meaning is, I don't understand. It's obscure to me. So some people would interpret this verse, they would say, look, he's not meaning what he's trying to say here is using perhaps an idiom or an expression to say nobody has ever understood God. Well, I guess that's possible. And they would emphasize this because then they would go down and say the word declared comes from a Greek word that we would use the word exegesis. Explanation. Nobody, Jesus Christ is the explanation of God. And that's how some would interpret it. I don't necessarily agree with that interpretation, but it does emphasize the fact that people see the problem and the difficulty and they're trying to explain it, right? So, we'll get to my explanation here in a minute, but I'm just giving you some of the other explanations. That doesn't necessarily explain the fact that it says that God is invisible. I mean, there's other problems that come along that if God is not seeable, then what happens when we see that somebody says they saw God? What does it mean? So how can we see someone who is invisible? I think the first answer amongst us should be what? There we go, by faith. In fact, we have a verse of scripture that actually says this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So, he saw him, but he didn't. Yeah? So he saw him by what? By faith. It wasn't visible. So we have two aspects here. You can't physically see him, but you can by faith. Does that make sense? You can see God by faith. Somebody says, have you ever seen God? And some people would say, yeah, I saw God. No, you never saw God. What do you mean you saw God? I saw him by faith. Oh, you saw him by faith. Yeah. It explains it. Reminds me of another good friend. What was his name? Myron Madden. What a brother. Unique. Yeah. Used to go door knocking with him. And when you go door knocking with Myron Madden, he would have, as Brother Lindell's pointing out, he's remembering, he would have a big family Bible. You know what a big family Bible? You know, it's like a big family Bible. And some of you in our modern days, because we have telephones now, we don't remember what the old Strong's Concordance was. Big old Strong. It wasn't like a Cruton's Concordance. It was real small. It was like a big, huge book. So you have a big family Bible, a Strong's Concordance, and he would bring along a commentary of the whole Bible, which is like a thick book, yeah? And so he would get up to the door. And more than once I've seen him, he's balancing on the hip and he's kind of knocking on the door, you know, and then he's holding. And, you know, I never knew what people thought when they answered, hey, we want to talk to you about the Bible today, you know. I think, man, this conversation might last sometimes. But the point I'm making with Myron was, he was in the military with us out here at Security Hill here at Kelly Air Force Base, and they took him into the psychiatry ward because they thought he was strange. He wasn't strange, he was just unique. But they had done a questionnaire, and the questionnaire is, on the question, some of the question was, does anybody hate you? Yes. Is there anybody that is after you? Yes. Is anybody trying to destroy you? Yes. And so when the doctors are looking at this, they say, we got a case here. You know, we got to get this guy in a straitjacket. We got to, you know, they observed him for a week. Well, finally, when they did their interview and they say, well, who hates you? Satan. Well, that's true, right? Yeah. Is he after you? Yes, every day he's after me. It's a perception, right? So from the doctor's perception, this guy's nuts. But the truth is, he was telling the truth. There were people that hate him. Somebody was after him. They're trying to destroy him. Yeah. Perception. Yeah. And so maybe we have a perception problem here. Romans in chapter 1, we're trying to answer the question, can we see something that is invisible? Can we say we saw something even though it's invisible? Look in Romans in chapter 1 and verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the what? The invisible, those things that cannot be seen, those things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, doesn't that seem strange? Something that cannot be seen are clearly seen. We'll read the rest. Being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So it seems like the invisible things of God could be understood by things that are made. That's what it's saying, right? So you can know that there is this God out there, and you could say that he exists even though he is invisible, because there's other things that testify to his existence. Does that make sense? All right. Now, looking back in Colossians chapter 1:15, we've already said this. I wanted to go to the first part here, the second part. Who is talking about Jesus? Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Who is the image of the invisible God? Jesus Christ. Look back at our text. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Who? He had declared the Father. He had declared God. He is the manifestation of God in the flesh, we might say. I did a little study, and some of you that are smarter than me, you might correct me. Help me with if I don't explain this exactly right. Do we all understand that there are things that are creeping around, in fact, on our skin that we cannot, if we actually saw them, we would probably die seeing all these little creatures crawling on us, yeah? Did you know there are things creeping on your pillowcase that you cannot see, but they are, you're welcome. They are there all night while you're sleeping. They're moving. You know what it takes to, yeah, they're moving. They're crawling all over you. Yes. You can't see them, but they're there. What do you need? You need something that, if you wanted to see it, you would need something that would reveal that they're there. If you really wanted to, and so we would use perhaps a optical microscope. And what they do with that is they magnify the light so that you can actually see this thing that's unseeable, right? Did you know there are things that cannot be seen, but we can see them? And this is by an electron microscope, where this is not just a magnification. Yeah. They're actually shooting electrons at this object in order to make an image of what they could not see. Now that's very interesting. Yeah. We can never see these subatomic particles directly, but can only infer from the observation of such indirect effects like their tracks, or they're leaving these tracks and they shoot these electrons at it. This is all kind of complicated, but the point is they do this in order to make an image of something that cannot be seen. I thought that was very interesting because it says that Christ is the express image of God. Yeah? You can't see God, but Jesus is that image. Look in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by a Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things that by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So as I understand, the analogy I'm giving with this electron microscope is you're not actually seeing the real image. You're seeing an image. I don't even know how to say this correctly. You're seeing an image transmitted from these electrons or this radiation shooting in to what you're trying to see, and it transmits an image of that. Yeah? You're not actually seeing the thing. You're seeing an image of it. I hope that is clear to you, because it was, you know, it's kind of complicated, but it's a degree above my capacity. But Christ is the image of the Father. Christ is the image of God, the invisible God. Christ is God manifest in the flesh. So, have we seen Christ? Yes, we have seen Christ. Have we seen God as he is? Then I would say, no, we haven't. We haven't seen all that is. And it seems to say here where we were just reading in Exodus that God's telling Moses, look, you can't see me, but I'll let you get a glimpse of just the back part of me. Yeah? Because if you saw me, you would not live. You would just die. That's what it seems to be saying. Now, look in Exodus 33 and verse 9. It says, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, and the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So how do we explain this? We've already read verses, we've already laid the foundation, and no man has seen God. If you ever did see him, you wouldn't live to tell about it. God is invisible. In other words, you cannot see him. But now it's saying that he spake unto Moses face to face. Well, I just throw this out for you. It doesn't say here specifically that Moses saw God. It says they spoke face to face, and we need to be careful that we don't interpret that, oh, he saw his face, because it doesn't actually say he saw his face. He just says he spoke face to face. This is another idiomatic expression that means that he was in his presence. Direct contact. You know, it's very interesting, because at work we do, we don't call them Zoom meetings, but you would understand a Zoom meeting. We do Skype meetings, yeah? And so even though I might see their face, their image, I would not say we're face to face. Yeah? Because I'm not physically in their presence. Very interesting. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 5. The Lord talk with you face to face in the Mount
of the out of the midst of the fire. So God clothed themselves so that they couldn't see him in a pillar of fire, in a pillar of in a cloud, so they couldn't actually see him, but they were in his presence. God was there, yeah, as if face to face. They were there, but they didn't see him. As an explanation. Now look down in verse Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days, and they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of his words, but saw no what? Similitude. Only ye heard his voice. So God appeared unto them, but they did not see God. They didn't see an image. They saw these clouds and the fires, and I mean, they were quaking in the presence of God. Yeah. But they never what? They never saw God. They saw evidences of God. They heard his voice. Yeah? He was in their presence, yet they never saw him. So far, so good. However, it gets more complicated. Look in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. Yeah? And will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So Moses had something that the children of Israel did not. The children of Israel saw the manifestation of God in the sense that of this cloud and this fire and this thundering. They knew that God was in their presence, and they fell down to worship, and they trembled, and they didn't even want to approach onto the mountain because they knew that was God there. And they knew if they ever, they knew that they could die. Yeah. And so now he's saying, look, I speak unto my prophets in visions. So they see visions. And one of the visions we have is Isaiah the prophet. He says, and I also, in the year that King Uzziah died, I what? I saw the Lord. Well, apparently that interpretation is he saw the Lord in a vision. Yeah? Didn't necessarily see him say, you know, there he is. I saw him, like he's right there. But he saw him in a vision. So a different use of the term. So both could be true. I saw him, but I didn't. I saw him in a vision, but I didn't see him in person. Or I didn't see his face, for lack of words, yeah? So you could see God perhaps in a vision like Isaiah did. Here, he says, look, these prophets, they're not gonna see me, but Moses is gonna see me in what? In a similitude. But what is a similitude? It's an image. Yeah? So God would take upon himself a form, so that he, because he's invisible, you can't see him, he would take on some sort of form so that he could be seen, so that he could communicate with man. That's what he did in Christ Jesus. God became a man. This is a mystery. The mystery of godliness, it says. It can't be necessarily explained, but we know it's true. Yeah? Now, the scholars call this I don't even know how to pronounce the word, theophany. That means God is revealed to man. The invisible is revealed by some form. And we see this in the scriptures. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Look in Genesis 18. This is very interesting. At least it is to me. Genesis chapter 18. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, although that would be good because then we'd get the context. But read verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, Abraham, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent of the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, what? What did he see? Three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran up to meet them at the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee from thy servant. And as I said, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Let me just paraphrase it for time's sake. So Abraham is speaking to these three men. Apparently, one of them is the Lord. The Lord. Two of them go into Sodom. And the one, the Lord, stays there with Abraham, and Abraham is talking with the Lord. They're having a conversation. With who? With the Lord. But he's in the appearance of man. Now, again, scholars would say this was Christ revealed, a pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament. Okay, and they have a term for that. Christophany, yeah, Christophany. They got different terms for it. They're trying to explain what is very difficult to explain. God revealing himself unto man and an invisible God revealing himself. So, can we say that he saw God? Well, under the veil of a man, yes. But did he actually see God? No. In the image of a man, yes. But did he see God? No, in that sense, yeah. Look in Genesis 32, verse 24, and time is fleeting. Do you remember this story? This is very interesting. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob, and he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and he said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So it seems to be indicating that Jacob was wrestling with God in the form of a man. That's what it seems to be saying. Did he see God? Well, in a sense, yes. Did he see God as he is? No. Yeah? That would be an explanation. Look at Judges chapter 13, verse 21. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear unto Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have what? We have seen God. Yeah? Well, if they saw God, what did they see him as? An angel. Yeah? So they didn't see, say, literally the, I don't even know what the word we would use, the essence of God or the substance of God. God veiled himself in the form of an angel. Let's put it that way. God, just as he hid himself from Moses so that Moses couldn't see everything he did, he hid his eyes and he just got a glimpse of the hinder parts of him. God veiled himself in the form of an angel so that he could reveal himself unto man, because if he revealed himself as he is, man would not live. He would be consumed. That's my understanding of it. Now, again, I've already explained with Isaiah the vision, and let me give now in the ending here in the last 5 minutes my understanding. My understanding is when he says no man has seen God at any time, that in John chapter 1, he's talking about the Father. No one has seen the Father. And this is why, to me, it's so important to distinguish between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Trinity. No man has seen the Father. Where do I get this from? Look in John chapter 5 and verse 37. The Father himself has sent me, had borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. So the Father has not been seen with a shape. John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen what? The Father, save which he which is of God, he has seen the Father. So who saw the Father? Jesus Christ. Has any man seen the Father? No man has seen the Father. But who has revealed the Father? Should I use the biblical term here? Who has declared the Father? The Son. The Son has declared the Father in such a way that he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Let's see how that's used in John chapter 4 and verse 21. Because in John 1:18, it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. It's if he's talking about God, but he's referring to the Father. Yeah. So in John chapter 4 and verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship who? The Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship who? The Father, in spirit and truth. For who? The Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So here we have God referencing the Father. Yeah? That you cannot see. But we have Jesus revealing the Father. This is a great mystery, and that's why it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So I would understand this, nobody has seen the Father, but the Father is revealed by the Son. That is an explanation. Whether that is good enough for you, I have no idea. It's good enough for me, and it pacifies my mind in trying to explain these things. Because there are a few verses that seem to say that they saw God. But I can't see how those particular verses overrule those other verses that said no man has seen God. So there has to be some sort of explanation. And because I'm thoroughly convinced that both are true, how do we reconcile them? And the best that I can reconcile is that God has revealed himself through the Son, but no man has seen the Father. That is how I reconcile it. Whether that helps you or not, I hope. The point I'm making here is not that you agree 100% with my explanation, my feeble explanation. My point is there is a reasonable answer there. Yeah? And we can't just emphasize and say, well, John 1:18 is not true, but I'm going to believe Isaiah 6:1 because it says that he saw God. Yeah? And we can't just say, well, John 1:18 is true, so therefore Isaiah 6:1 or these other verses are not true. They're both true. So if one is true, how do you explain the other? So I've seen in the scriptures over and over again that God is invisible, cannot be seen, right? Therefore, I'm interpreting these difficult verses where it seems to say they saw God. I'm interpreting those difficult verses in the light of the clear verses that we've mentioned several times. Yeah. So I'm now interpreting that. So they got a glimpse, but they did not see God. They got an image, but they did not see God. Did you know I saw President Eisenhower? I saw him on TV. So you would say, well, did you see him? You said, no, you didn't see him. I said, yeah, I saw him on TV. Well, what did I see? I saw an image of him. But I say that I saw him. So when they saw an image of God, they could say they saw God, but they didn't necessarily see God. In the same thing that I tried to explain with this electron microscope, is they're not actually seeing the image. They're just shooting these electrons at this thing and making an image of what the unseeable is. And that is how I understand it. All right. I hope that was a blessing to you. I hope that wasn't confusing. There are difficult verses in the Bible, obviously. And we just believe that they're true. And sometimes we just have to say, Lord, this is the best I can do right now. Lord, help me. Help me to see things by faith. Amen. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll take a short break. Father, we thank you for your word. So many things that we don't understand. Help us not to get preoccupied by these things, forget the greater things about loving you and loving our neighbors, ourselves. Lord, help us not to forget the great things of your law. And Lord, bless us. Bless whoever's going to be preaching today. Bless the rest of our meeting. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.